Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collins Foods Limited HY 2022 results call. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Drew O'Malley, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Zoe. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone, depending on where you are. This is Drew O'Malley, and with me on the call, I have Nigel Williams, our Group CFO. I'm very pleased to be able to take you through Collins Foods results for the first half of the 2022 financial year, which was the 24-week period to the 17th of October, 2021. Please note we have now reported our results on a post AASB 16 leasing standard as companies complete the transition to this new format. We will occasionally refer to pre-AASB numbers as we proceed through the deck for ease of comparability. All numbers mentioned will be post AASB 16 unless otherwise indicated. The half year results for Collins Foods showed solid growth sparked by a recovery in our European business. A few of the key result highlights from continuing operations on an underlying basis are as follows. Revenue was up 8.5% to 534.2 million dollars, with growth across all segments, including the strong KFC Europe performance I'll walk you through shortly. EBITDA was also up 13.1% to 94.9 million dollars, largely reflecting the significant margin improvement delivered in Europe and some effect of AASB 16. On a pre-AASB 16 basis, EBITDA was up 8.7%. Underlying NPAT was 28.9 million dollars, up 31.6% on prior year. Noting the equivalent on a pre-AASB 16 basis was up 11.1%. Continuing operations exclude Sizzler Australia, which was closed on the 15th of November 2020. During the half, there were also non-trading items which had a 2.5 million dollar impact on statutory NPAT from continuing operations. Non-trading items are presented in more detail on slide 31 of the attached presentation. Further notable financial highlights include net operating cash flow was 72.3 million dollars, slightly down on half year 2021. Net debt increased to 197.6 million dollars, mainly due to acquisitions. While net leverage increased incrementally to  1.41, we maintain a very strong balance sheet with substantial headroom to support our growth initiatives. Underlying basic earnings per share from continuing operations was 0.247, up 31.5%. Lastly, given the strength of our balance sheet and attractive growth opportunities, the directors declared a fully franked interim dividend of 0.12 per share, up 14% on half year 2021. Moving to the operational highlights for the half on slide 2. In all business units, we are focused on building and leveraging brand strength to drive sustainable long-term growth. KFC Australia achieved modest but positive same-store sales growth in the first half, despite cycling record growth in the prior comparable period. To put the same-store sales growth being cycled into perspective, HY 2021 saw the equivalent of 3-4 years of typical same-store sales growth in a single half. To be staying positive in same-store sales growth while lapping that result clearly demonstrates the strength of the brand. Further evidence of that is to be found in the fact that KFC continues to gain market share stemming from effective advertising and maintaining affordability. We have also continued to invest in digital and delivery to support longer-term growth prospects and have a robust pipeline for consistent new store development. KFC Europe has delivered a strong rebound, supported by market expansion in the Netherlands and the easing of COVID-19 restrictions in the first half. During the half, we signed a milestone corporate franchise agreement, or CFA, to unlock development potential and enhance our ability to scale. This was shortly followed by the announcement of an upcoming acquisition of an additional 9 restaurants in the Netherlands, which will take our share of the franchisees in the Netherlands to 55% upon completion. Taco Bell Australia has continued to grow brand awareness and trial in the fastest-growing QSR segment. We've put in place a new marketing strategy to enhance media effectiveness and strengthen the brand, which in conjunction with our accelerating development pipeline will enable Taco Bell to reach scale in 3 to 4 years. Consistent across the three divisions is a significant organic growth pipeline with record restaurant openings planned for FY22. Turning now to KFC Australia in more detail, where we saw record half-year sales as outlined on slide 4. Revenue was up 4.4% to $433.7 million, supported by 12 new restaurants opened since HY21. Same-store sales growth was positive 0.1%. As mentioned, under the circumstances, a solid achievement given that we were cycling 12.4% comps in the prior comparable period. On a two-year basis, compounded annual same-store sales growth was 6.1%. The underlying EBITDA margin post-AASB 16 was 21.7%, slightly below the prior comparable period. The equivalent on a pre-AASB 16 basis was 17.8%. While this was down 0.8% on the prior comparable half year, reflecting some modest but expected cost inflation running above same store growth for the period, the HY22 margin was still above the HY20 level of 7.5% and still quite strong by historical standards. And lastly, underlying EBITDA post-AASB 16 was up 3.6% to $94.3 million. Moving to slide 5, the KFC brand is strengthening and experiencing high consumer trust and brand loyalty, driven by strong marketing execution and an enhanced customer experience. More specifically, the KFC King of Treats brand positioning has led to a number one ranking amongst major QSR brands on the attributes of has great tasting food, a way to treat myself, and my family and friends like it. Likewise, KFC remains a clear market leader in chicken despite heavy competitor activity during the first half and continues to gain QSR market share, which it has consistently over the past several years. High brand awareness and improved value positioning have both contributed to this performance. Meanwhile, new product offerings, including Hot and Crispy Boneless and the Zinger Crunch Burger, have kept the brand fresh and relevant amidst changing consumer tastes. As you can see from slide 6, investments in digital, delivery, and innovation are enhancing customer experience and driving long-term sustainable growth. E-commerce channels, which include delivery, web, and app, represented 16.3% of sales for the half, up 3 percentage points on the prior comparable period. Delivery sales, including delivery as a service, or DaaS, grew by more than 60%. More than 80% of our KFC restaurants are now offering delivery across three aggregators, and delivery as a service has been extended to 207 locations. App-based click and collect sales increased 8%, with the KFC app consistently ranked number one or number two in both the iOS and the Android app stores. We expect continued native app development to drive further adoption, engagement, and conversion. Investment in innovation is also driving operational efficiency, in addition to customer experience. External digital menu boards are modernizing the drive-thru experience and are now installed in 93 locations. Our kiosk initiative has been extended to 20 restaurants with a target for 50 by year end, and investments in back of house, such as live operations dashboards, are reducing wastage and improving product availability. Turning to slide 7. KFC Australia has a substantial pipeline for new store expansion. Three new restaurants were opened in HY22, and we are on track for 9 to 12 new restaurants in the full financial year, including two new restaurants that are opening today. Furthermore, Collins Foods is leading the way for franchisees in Australia, with approximately half of all new KFC restaurants for calendar year 2021 being built by Collins. Longer term, at least 55 additional restaurants are planned by 2028 under the new development agreement with Yum, with opportunity for further market penetration in Australia, given that KFC is still underpenetrated relative to McDonald's. It is also worth noting that we take a disciplined approach to site selection, with cannibalization factored into all new investment appraisals, ensuring the right sites are picked and we can continue to generate the required returns. Part of our strategy in building that longer-term pipeline has been to selectively purchase freehold sites for future development, leveraging our strong balance sheet. This gives us additional flexibility in making sure that we can pursue whichever sites we think will suit the brand in whichever format the trade zone requires. And finally here, you may recall from past presentations that one of our key positive impact goals is achieving a 25% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2026. The installation of solar panels at suitable sites is a key driver of this, with now 51 solar installations delivered to date and plans for more than 100 by year end. I will now turn to our Europe business, slide 9 of the presentation, if you have it in front of you. Europe had a very strong recovery, rebounding to above pre-pandemic sales levels in the half, including total revenue growth 31.7% to $84.7 million. Same-store sales growth was 14.6% on the prior comparable period and 7.9% over HY20, bolstered by the easing of COVID-19 restrictions. By country, same-store sales growth was 17.2% in the Netherlands for the half, including 6.7% on a two-year basis, and Germany delivered 8.9% growth on the prior year and 10.1% over HY20. Acquired stores, which are performing better than expected, added $7.9 million in revenue. EBITDA margins were 14.7% on a post-AASB 16 basis, up 6.2 percentage points on the prior half year, reflecting the strong same-store sales performance. Importantly, on a pre-AASB 16 basis, you can see profitability also improved above pre-COVID levels, with the HY22 EBITDA margin of 8.2%, up from 2.4% in the prior year, as well as above the 4.3% margin in HY20, and even above the 7.3% in HY19. Moving to slide 10, underlying strong sales result, it has been a combination of marketing returning to key brand fundamentals, including a focus on core products and everyday value. New leadership and enhanced marketing activities are driving a renewed focus on KFC's core value proposition, which is providing craveable chicken in a variety of convenient and affordable formats. We have been able to gradually ease away from a reliance on disruptive value in recent months toward a more balanced approach with everyday value. Dine-in sales returned as the market reopened during the half, bolstering results, but we've also seen drive-through digital and delivery sales maintained at high levels even as dine-in sales returned. Importantly, we are seeing those strong two-year growth numbers in both markets, which together with the strong performance of the new acquisitions gives us confidence that there is momentum beyond simply normalization of results. The encouraging first half results combined with the relatively low market penetration further fuel our aspirations for investment in the European market. Moving to slide 11, we highlight the strategic acquisitions through 2021 that have enhanced Collins Foods' scale in the Netherlands. The 8 restaurants acquired in 3 separate deals in late FY21 and early HY22 have been successfully integrated and, as noted, are outperforming expectations. More recently, in October, we announced the acquisition of the second largest KFC Netherlands franchisee with 9 restaurants, which is expected to close in early 2022. Upon completion, this will take our Netherlands footprint to 44 restaurants, with Collins Foods representing 55% of total KFC franchisees in the Netherlands. Consideration for the latest acquisition is 10.25 million euros based on pre-COVID revenue of 15.9 million euros and EBITDA of 1.8 million euros. But for us, acquisitions aren't just about short-term financials. Strategically, they provide us with a consolidated franchisee structure and have opened additional trade zones for future development, as highlighted on the map. To that end, the acquisition we've completed in the Netherlands complement the corporate franchise agreement in increasing scale and facilitating future growth, which I'll talk about on the next slide. So on to slide 12, the Netherlands CFA is the first of its kind that Yum! Brands has entered into globally, which reflects the strong relationship Collins Foods has with Yum! And our reputation for operational excellence. The CFA commences on the 31st of December and provides for a market development pipeline of up to 130 net new restaurants over 10 years. Collins will manage, oversee, and support both independent franchisees and our company-owned restaurants. We brought in highly experienced KFC marketing executive David Tim as chief marketing officer to oversee the brand. We will receive from Yum a fixed service fee to offset the cost of running the market, and we have the potential to earn financial incentives tied to performance. Yum will also continue to provide global marketing and supply chain support. During HY22, one new restaurant was opened under the current Netherlands Development Agreement, which will be superseded by the CFA. No new restaurants were opened in Germany during the period, and growth will remain more selective in this market near term, though we continue to see long-term potential. While Europe continues to establish itself as a strong long-term growth platform for Collins, the near term carries more uncertainty, with high COVID infection rates on the continent heading into winter and the emergence of the new variant. We will continue to monitor the situation and the impact from likely COVID-related restrictions. Moving now to Taco Bell Australia on slide 14, we continue to grow sales and store count, though the brand continues to be in an early stage of its development. Revenue increased 33% to $14.8 million, reflecting the contribution of four new stores opened since the half-year end of 2021. Same-store sales declined 11.2% due to variability in performance often seen at an early stage of a brand, as well as COVID trading restrictions, especially in Victoria. EBITDA post-AASB 16 at the store level is $1.7 million, the same as prior half year. This excludes new store opening costs and brand G&A. The division was break-even at the EBITDA level post-AASB 16, noting the equivalent pre-AASB 16 was a loss of $1.1 million. Turning to slide 15, our focus remains on driving awareness and trial in the attractive Mexican QSR segment, where Taco Bell is a unique pure-play QSR brand in this fast-growing category. We are achieving differentiation with a value-oriented menu centered on taste and convenience, as well as product innovations to make Mexican fun and locally relevant. During the half, Taco Bell continued to develop its digital and delivery channels, which accounted for 20% of sales, and has successfully leveraged KFC expertise to improve operational efficiency. We have also refined our marketing strategy to drive increased awareness, including bolstering advertising reach in restaurant cluster regions and orienting promotions around occasions and target audiences, reinforcing everyday value credentials. We are investing in awareness ahead of development to put in place the right foundations as we scale this business. Moving to slide 16, as previously shared, we are accelerating development of our Taco Bell network. With the recent opening of Eaton's Hill in Queensland, the restaurant count has increased to 18, including 13 stores in Queensland, 4 in Victoria, and 1 in WA. The opening in Western Australia was particularly notable, as we were met with enthusiastic crowds and long lines for our September launch, a positive signal of a receptive audience in that state. We now expect 6 to 8 new restaurant openings in FY22, a decrease of 3 from our previous estimates caused by delays from COVID-related building restrictions in Victoria. New build CapEx now typically costs between $0.6 and $1 million per restaurant, depending on the lease agreement. We also have a strong development pipeline in place, which will enable us to achieve scale in 3 to 4 years. We continue to be very bullish on the development of Taco Bell. Turning to Sizzler Asia on slide 18, as you may be aware, most countries in Asia have been slower to reopen than other parts of the world. Dining restrictions were in place in Japan and Thailand for the majority of the half, though restrictions have eased in recent months with a decline in case numbers. Against this backdrop, royalty revenue was down 28.1% to $0.9 million, generating EBITDA of $0.4 million. I will now hand over to Nigel for a review of financial performance for the half.
Thank you, Drew. Starting on slide 20, I will talk through the results on a post-AASB 16 basis, but it's worth noting that there's no impact overall net cash flow from the leasing standard. It's just a reallocation of leases from operating cash flow to financing activities. That said, I'm pleased to report Collins Foods remains highly cash generative with net operating cash flow of $72.3 million. This was down $5.9 million on the prior comparable period due to the reversal of a positive working capital benefit in the first half of 21, partly offset by lower interest payments in this half. Operating cash flow has been reinvested for growth, with CapEx spend of $35.9 million and payments for acquisitions of $13.1 million. CapEx included investments in new restaurants of $9.5 million, land purchases to enable the development of three restaurants totaling $10 million, $7.7 million in remodels, digital and sustainability initiatives of $3 million, while sustaining and other capital was $5.7 million. Cash generation supports an interim fully franked dividend of 12 cents per share, up 14% on the first half of 21. Turning to the balance sheet on slide 21, this continues to be in a strong and healthy position. Cash balance has reduced slightly to $90 million, with net debt of $197.6 million, up by $20.2 million, principally due to completing on the first half acquisitions. Property, plant and equipment is up $17 million to $205.9 million, reflecting new restaurant builds and acquisitions, less the relevant depreciation. Net assets are up $13.6 million to $376.2 million. Our strong funding capacity is further highlighted on slide 22. Note here when we refer to the net leverage ratio, this is calculated on a pre-AA SB16 basis consistent with the measurement criteria in our syndicated facility agreement. Our net leverage ratio of 1.41 has substantial headroom, the covenant maximum of 2.75 times EBITDA. And with net debt of $197.6 million, there is significant growth capacity with our current facility of approximately $390 million. While net leverage ratio increased slightly above FY21 year end, it remains at a very comfortable level. I will now hand back to Drew to talk through our strategic priorities.
Thanks, Nigel. I'm now on slide 24 of the deck. Collins Foods' strategy is built on driving scale for each brand on a foundation of operational excellence. In KFC Australia, we expect to build new stores ahead of our development agreement requirements. We will continue to invest in digital and delivery and innovate around customer experience to keep core same-store sales growth and strong, stable margins. For KFC Europe, our priorities are implementing the corporate franchise agreement and integrating newly acquired stores. Near-term organic growth will be focused on the Netherlands, given the attractive growth opportunities underpinned by the CFA, with selective builds in Germany. And in Taco Bell, we will continue to capitalize on the fast-growing Mexican QSR segment in Australia by driving awareness and trial for the brand and accelerating new restaurant openings to build scale. At a group level, we are implementing ESG initiatives focused on reducing energy consumption and waste, as well as promoting Collins Workplace Giving as our signature social program. I will report more on our ESG initiatives with our full year result. Lastly, our organic growth runway is very strong. We expect to open 17 to 24 new restaurants across the group in FY22. This includes 6 to 9 in KFC Australia in the second half for a total of 9 to 12 for the full year. 1 to 3 in KFC Europe in the second half for a total of 2 to 4 for the full year, and 5 to 7 new Taco Bell restaurants in the second half for a total of 6 to 8 for the full year. And that concludes the formal presentation. We're now happy to open up the call for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press *2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Tim Plum with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, how are you going?
Hey.
Yeah, I'll just ask two questions and then jump back into the queue. Just wondering if you might be able to give us any sort of indications in terms of the first couple of weeks of trading into the second half of 22. Obviously, a lot of moving parts. You've got the Netherlands that's gone into a partial lockdown. You've got Australia that's coming out. Just wondering if you could give us some sort of colour on that top line like-for-like that you're seeing so far.
Sure. Did you want to ask your second question, Tim? And then I can just hit them one after another.
Yep. Then just the second one, just I guess around KFC Australia in the second half, you know, top line, I think you're up against kind of 13.4% like-for-like sales versus 12.4 in the first half of 21. And then obviously you've got the full year impact of the EBA agreement. So how should we be thinking about the pre-AASB EBITDA margins in the second half of 22 relative to the 17.4 that you did in the second half of 21?
So, sure, let me take those in succession. So let me run through the first 6 weeks of trading in the second half for the business units. KFC Australia was a plus 1.6% for the first 6 weeks. Taco Bell was a minus 8.9 for the first 6 weeks. And KFC Netherlands was a plus 16.5%, and Germany was a plus 7.1%. So let me qualify that a little bit in Europe. As you indicated, we have seen a bit of a shift in the last 2 weeks. So we've gone from double-digit same-store sales to single-digit in both markets with some of the new trading restrictions, COVID restrictions coming into effect. We're still comfortably up on two-year, and we are still positive same-store sales. But obviously, we need to continue to monitor that situation as it progresses. On the margin side for KFC, you know, as noted, we've seen some modest cost pressure, which was as expected. You know, we're seeing it in some of the you know, secondary categories. Certainly, oil has gone up. Packaging, we don't have too much that's imported, but packaging is, so there's been a bit of inflation on that, and flour, a slight bit. But importantly, chicken is locked in until the end of next year with all three suppliers, so we feel in pretty good stead on that front. As you mentioned, wages were up 2.5% in July. We expect some a modest amount of headwind on that front, you know, next year. But look, net, as we've said, you know, we look for strong, stable margins in KFC. And for the full year, you know, the guidance we've tended to give in the past was that keeping margins north of 17%. Is not an unrealistic expectation, and I think we'd stay with that statement. So that's a bit on the core KFC margin outlook.
Fantastic. And just clarifying, that's north of 17% for FY22.
For the full year, that's correct.
Right. That's very useful. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from James Ferrier with Wilsons. Please go ahead.
Hi, Drew and Nigel. Thanks for your time. First question's around the digital performance in Australia. I think it was a 16.3% of sales figure quoted in the presentation. Back at the Investor Day, you quoted 18%, and I'm just wondering whether that was just a sort of a snapshot point in time and the ebbs and flows of activity levels through the different channels, or whether the digital penetration rates have actually sort of declined since then?
No, I think that's a snapshot in time. There is, you know, some fluctuations as you go with promotions. I think 18.3 was called out as a bit of a snapshot around that period. But overall, if you know, look at the graph, the progression is still quite healthy. You know, a few years ago, we were wondering if 20% was reasonable or a realistic expectation. You know, today you look at the growth rate, you would think that's, you know, more than reasonable to achieve. So overall, we're still quite encouraged by, you know, the growth in that channel, and we expect it to continue.
Okay, great. Delivery as a service, is that a meaningful percentage of the overall digital, or can you give us a bit of a feel for where it's got to now?
Yeah, it's a meaningful percent, or it's a meaningful mix. We don't share the exact split out of the percent within delivery. But you can see that, you know, the growth we've highlighted year on year of 60% is quite strong. So we're overall, you know, this is a channel that we're most excited about because we maintain the customer data and, you know, overall, you know, it just puts us in control of the customer experience. So DOS is one that we continue to invest in and we think has real legs for the future. So look, we'll work with all aggregators. You know, we work with three of them at the moment. You know, whether or not Uber comes in is something that is still potentially in the future. But DOS is the one that I think we're most excited about.
Yeah, okay. And then last question for me is just the looking at the Europe margins. We'd guess that store-level margins in Europe probably 13% or so above where you were pre-COVID. So I'm just sort of trying to get a sense of whether these margins are reflective of a very strong bounce back and maybe a degree of abnormality at a store level, or whether you look at that and think, well, that's just evidence of better performance and there's more upside to come.
Yeah, look, I think it's certainly evidence of a strong core rebound. So we feel you know, quite gratified by seeing the numbers. Our objective was to return this year to FY20 margins. We've exceeded that for the first half. I think we obviously, you know, anytime we look at it, you know, we look into the future in Europe, we've got to call out a few things. Number one, the uncertainty around, you know, COVID restrictions. We've certainly weathered a number of these over the past few years, as you know, but we don't know the extent of it and the length of it. So that's one thing I think we need to caution about. In terms of margin, food inflation has been stronger in Europe than we've seen here in Australia. So it's still sort of, you know, mid-single digit, but we think it's a number that we can navigate, you know, with number one, a bit of offset pricing. And number two, you know, as we shift away from disruptive value and more towards everyday value, that should have a bit of margin benefit. So look, we think it's navigable. You know, we don't project out margins, but, you know, overall, we think we're pretty comfortable with what we're seeing in Europe. And, you know, anticipating some ups and downs in the near term, we're you know, pretty confident about where we see margins and sales headed longer term. Thanks, James.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Ross Curran with Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Actually, sort of a similar question around European margin. I'm going to come to that second. Can I start with Taco Bell? Are you able to help us break out the impact of the lockdowns on the Taco Bell stores versus the stores that weren't locked down? Are you seeing, you know, good repeat customers? I'm just interested in the outlook there, given you have pulled back the sort of shorter-term store rollout target there.
Yeah, let me separate the development piece from the core performance. Look, you know, obviously we're, you know, minus 11 is a bit disappointing, but we do take it in stride and we're not deterred on the long-term prospects for the brand. It's difficult to exactly split out the factors impacting the 11.2. We do know that COVID was a few percentage points of that, you know, given that we certainly saw severe lockdowns in Victoria. But I'd also call out, you know, it was something we did see relatively consistently across the portfolio. So look, it's on a base of 12 stores, so we don't want to over-extrapolate. But having said that, we certainly want to regroup and we've refreshed our marketing approach. And we also see our primary priority as, you know, doubling down on marketing spend to really drive awareness and trial, to really get, you know, the same-store sales into positive ground. And that's something that we are going to be focused on in the second half. Overall, from a development perspective, though, nothing has changed from our outlook. We did lose three stores in our projection. That was, you know, as noted, really around the building conditions in Victoria. That was not something that had to do with our confidence in the brand, which remains undeterred. So we have an aggressive pipeline for development in Taco Bell, and we see that as critical to getting the brand to scale, which is still where we want to go.
Can I just push you on that just a little bit?
Sure.
You've talked about, you know, getting customers to trial the product. Once they do trial, are they coming back? You know, there is interest around the brand, but is the product delivering on expectations and you're getting repeat customers or not?
Oh, absolutely. Look, you know, we have, you know, we track customer satisfaction. very closely. We actually see even higher customer satisfaction rates in Taco Bell than even in KFC. So we believe we're quite comfortable that we're providing a good customer experience. You know, look, there's on a new brand, you just do see some ups and downs. You know, we're also lapping the Naked Chicken Taco promotion in the first half of last year, which we put on TV. So, look, there are some factors in there. We'd love to have positive same-store sales to be able to report. But, again, you know, we take a long-term perspective to this brand, and we're quite confident in where we're going.
Thanks. And then secondly, just around those European margin targets you talked about before, as you bring those stores on stream in the Netherlands in the second half, would we expect a bit of variability to 2H margin that'll wash out over time, or will the margin hold?
Look, in terms of the stores that we're bringing on, you know, I think that you can expect, you know, similar margins to the existing portfolio. But as you alluded to, probably the biggest factor in the second half is the level of restrictions and navigating those.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Alexander Meese with Morgans. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and good morning, gentlemen. It's still morning here. a few questions, please. I'll keep them brief. Just with regard to labour availability, it's something that's been called out a lot in the QSR industry at the moment. What are you seeing in terms of your ability to recruit staff, particularly as you expand the network? My second question, just with regard to Taco Bell, just you talk about getting to scale in a few years' time. I'm just wondering how you define scale. And finally, if you could just comment on the relative performance of the various channels in KFC Australia, drive-through and delivery and dine-in over the period, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Alex. So to your first question on the labor market, look, it is tighter than we've seen before. We've seen slightly higher turnover numbers in Australia and in Europe. So I think that's probably a global phenomenon. It's certainly one that we're quite close to on top of. We do have a bit of a benefit here in Australia that, you know, the majority of our new team members, you know, are quite frankly, you know, students from schools that are working their first job. So, you know, that tends to be, you know, still a pretty deep pool to be able to draw from. So there is tightness there. We want to make sure we're on our A game in terms of providing a great people experience for anybody coming on board. So I'd say in net, we have noticed tightness there, and it continues to be something that we're going to keep a close eye on, but we still feel pretty comfortable with the resilience and the opportunity to bring people into the brand. When it comes to Taco Bell scale, your question was, what is scale? It's always difficult to put a precise number on it. Having said that, you know, one thing we've anticipated doing is concentrating our development for Taco Bell into three geographic clusters, one in Southeast Queensland, one in the Greater Melbourne area, and one in WA. And by doing that, we want to shift this from being a convenience occasion to, a treat occasion to a convenience occasion. The precise number of stores per market is hard to say. You know, you're probably in, you know, the 20 plus stores per geography to get to what we would consider to be some media efficiency, which is a big piece of it. And the second is, you know, again, just shifting people from thinking about it as a destination to one that I'm hungry, oh, here's a Taco Bell, I'm going to visit it. So that's a big part of our equation. And typically what we've seen in many different markets and brands is once you do get to that efficiency and that scale, you do tend to see more robust same-store sales for a prolonged period. So that's the name of the game for Taco Bell. And the third was the performance of the channels. We typically don't break out individual channel performance. I think it's safe to say that delivery and digital, you know, continues to grow ahead of the category. You know, we have drive-through channels that are really quite resilient, and certainly in cases of lockdown, we're able to shift pretty seamlessly away from dine-in channels to drive-through. You know, I think that is one of the built-in benefits of the sector, is it is a very resilient channel, especially during times of uncertainty or during times of COVID restrictions. So that's what I'd probably use to indicate how we're doing overall as a brand, that digital and delivery continues to be the leader in terms of performance, with the other channels pretty stable.
That's terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Wisin Kursawana with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Drew, Nigel. Can I just ask around the digital penetration in Europe and how you're seeing that channel performing versus your expectation?
Yeah, really, it's going quite well. Digital. I'll probably turn you over to Nigel a little bit. I'd like to give him the mic a little bit to crow about some of our success in Europe. So, Nigel, why don't you field that one?
Yeah, look, we are, as Drew said, seeing similar progress in our delivery. It's a more mature delivery market, so you can't expect it to. We're not adding the number of restaurants that we are in Australia, in the Netherlands, and Germany. And actually, the proportions of stores that have delivery is a little bit lower than we have here. But yeah, we're seeing a similar dynamic. We're seeing.
Okay, great. And then just a question on Germany. I appreciate the market structure there is a bit tougher and you're not planning immediate store openings, but can you talk to some of the store-level momentum that you're seeing that gives you confidence around the long-term opportunity in Germany?
Yeah, look, Germany is not the powerhouse that the Netherlands is, but we are still definitely profitable in that market. And we are actually looking to open a new store in that market towards the year end. So we're still very positive about Germany. But as we've said before, the focus is on the Netherlands. And whilst we will build selectively in Germany, the European strategy for Yum really does need to probably bring in another big player to help get that market to scale. Because as we've said before, it's not at scale, and getting it to scale will really help that market. We're willing to play our part, but not as significantly as we are in the Netherlands.
Okay, thanks, Nigel.
Thanks, Wesley.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Elijah Mayer with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, congrats on the result. Just a couple questions. Maybe firstly, just following on from the previous one, are you able to give maybe specifics on terms of what the margin is between the Netherlands and Germany?
No, we haven't given any specifics on that. But I mean, the margin in the Netherlands is much closer to double digits. Whereas Germany is very firmly in the single digit.
Yeah, understood.
After the G&A, of course, pre-G&A, it's double digits in the Netherlands.
Yep, and then maybe secondly, just on Taco Bell, I know that's probably early performance of the store in WA, but are you able to give maybe some feedback in terms of how that's performing versus other store openings in other regions, and perhaps just in terms of the store look and the brand look at the moment, and if you think there's further changes to be made, further material changes, or are you quite comfortable where it's at the moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, WA is doing extraordinarily well. We've seen probably some of our highest weekly sales ever out of that market. And what's gratifying is it's sustained pretty well through the first 7 or 8 weeks just because we've gotten better operationally, with that brand. So we're very, very pleased with WA. We expect to open more restaurants out there. And I think just the customer reception we've gotten, when you go into, a place like WA, you don't know if you've got the pent-up demand and brand awareness, and it's certainly a good sign that we've seen the crowds that we've seen. So I think that's certainly true. Your second question was around the look and feel of the brand. I love the look and feel of the brand. I think, every time I go into a Taco Bell, I think the vibe that we give, the interior design, the look and feel of the menu board, the affordability, to me is really in the sweet spot of what we think is right for Australia. So, look, we are always looking to innovate and continuing to you know, tweak and refine every aspect of our development as we go. But we think we've got a really, really strong platform in Taco Bell. So we don't anticipate material changes to the look and feel as we progress.
Excellent. Thanks for the questions.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up question from Tim Plum with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I dropped out, so not sure if you guys have already answered this, but just going back to Taco Bell, normalizing for that halo effect, can you remind us how you guys are thinking about potential sales per store and pre-AASB 16 EBITDA per store once you get to a more normalized trading environment?
Yeah, look, I think for Taco Bell, you know, a couple things on sales. You know, always trying to project out for an immature brand is a bit of an inexact science, but I think it's fair to say we would expect to be north of 40,000 on weekly store sales. And from an EBITDA perspective, look, we expect this brand to perform in double digits on EBITDA. So look, you know, our immediate focus, I would say, you know, is certainly, you know, to double down on the marketing to get the top line where we want and to get to scale above, you know, mental availability before you've got physical availability. So that's a bit of a shift. I think we're more inclined to be a bit more patient on the profitability because we really want to make sure that we're getting the overall brand piece right.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. O'Malley for closing remarks.
Good. Thanks, Zoe. Thank you, everybody, for being on the call this morning. We're certainly pleased with the overall result. I think the questions captured a broad scope of where we are. But look, you know, we certainly are facing some uncertainty in the near term, you know, with COVID and what that might bring and across the different markets. But overall, we continue to emphasize that we've got three great brands here, and we think our outlooks for long-term growth continue to be as strong as ever. Thanks very much.